Blog Talk Radio.
Brother Vernon?
Yes, Sister Gidget.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alaikum salam. I'm feeling fine now. How
are you? I'm sorry. We can't hear you.
What do you mean you can't hear me?
Can you try to adjust your phone?
Adjust my phone?
I mean, I don't know if it's a bad connection, but you're talking just right above a whisper. Just enough to know that you're talking.
Be kidding me. You can't hear me?
Okay. Brother Vernon?
Is that any better?
Yes. There you are.
Okay.
Okay.
It turns out that there is actually a volume setting for the microphone. Who knew?
Oh, there you go.
All right. Well, thank you. I was just saying that we were experiencing some technical difficulties getting connected. I called in and dropped out and called in and dropped out and had some guests call in and drop out a few times before everything actually stuck. But it appears that we are here to stay now.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah.
All right. Well, wonderful. I was, and right before I brought you in and unmuted your mic, I was saying thank you so much for holding it down for me last week. I was on the brink of destruction, and I survived the flu. Got me a T-shirt to prove it, too.
All praises due to Allah. We are just happy that you are back and that you are well and you are thriving and you are healthy, and we missed you.
Thank you. It feels good to be missed, and I certainly miss being here with you and with everybody else as well. So I heard y'all actually did a pretty darn good show last week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we did a dedication of prayers to Brother Ruben Muhammad out of Houston, Texas, who is suffering from pancreatic cancer. And we're going to pray our brother's health and strength back, and we're going to pray that whatever diagnosis that the doctor has given him, that Allah is going to prove them wrong, and our brother is going to have a long and fruitful life.
I mean with that. I'm certainly right in there with that prayer and all that love and affection that was sent out to the brother. I certainly hope that y'all sent some love and affection on my behalf, because I definitely appreciate the brother and just love his spirit. And I want to make sure I add my intention toward that too. Brother Ruben, if you're listening, we love you, brother. Stay strong. Keep your heart and keep your mind right, and don't give up the fight.
That's right. And we also sent prayers to you too, Brother Vernon, because we knew you were not feeling well.
You know, I felt them working. So it must have been a whole lot of people praying on my behalf. I thank you, and I thank everybody else who was praying for me too, because I tell you, I was almost in the neither world last week.
Oh, not at all. I had that. Me and Allah had that.
Good stuff. Glad to know you got my back. Sister, I'm coming off of a high. You might have to keep me grounded. For the last 4 days, we have been banging it out. The team, the executive business trainers from Freedom Paper Company, LLC, have been in a four-day training class. We actually call it the Science of Business. 4 days.
I heard about it.
It was awesome. We're doing the work, and it feels so good. We got four different teams of individuals from around the country, and we're actually equipping them so that today, as a matter of fact, people are going back to where they came from, and one of our guests is actually traveling. We'll bring him in. Hopefully, you know, the Peter Pan bus ain't going to be too loud. But we have four individuals who came from various parts of the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and we just gave them a intensive boot camp style training from 8 or 9 in the morning, starting on Thursday, all the way through till 5:30, sometimes 6:30 in the evening, of nothing but business, the art of conversation, sales and marketing training, business administration, everything that these individuals and these teams need to go back to where they came from and not wait for someone to create an economic stimulus program or a bailout for them, but they're equipped and empowered now to go and hit the ground running, drop wherever it is they land, and create an economic freedom movement for themselves. So it was fantastic. 4 days of the Science of Business. It was amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And I know Freedom Paper Company is one of those model companies for the Nation of Islam. So, Brother Vernon, we are so proud of you and the work that you and Brother Kamos do in our nation and in those communities in which you serve. So, original salute to you, brothers.
Oh, praise God. All praises due to Allah. We can't thank God enough for just being in position to to take advantage of an opportunity and to hopefully do something that's going to be beneficial, not just for ourselves, but something that's going to be truly of benefit for the cause of truth and for this movement that we really want to take take root and take hold everywhere that we go throughout the nation. So hopefully we'll start to see much more of that, because we know we've already gotten the call and already gotten the marching orders. We know that business is warfare, and in case you haven't realized it, business is war, and we are at war. And also, right after that statement was made by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he made the statement that the survival of black people as a people, our economic survival, is at stake. So that lets us know how critical things were when he said that, how critical things have gotten, as we hear America's politicians talk about the fiscal cliff, and now it seems like that aspect of it has been averted. We find out that there's another situation brewing. I think in another couple months they're going to have to reexamine that and, you know, get back to making some more firm decisions. So, America is not out of the woods yet. And if we black people don't get our stuff together, the ship is going to sink and we're not going to have a lifeboat to save ourselves in. So we need to get on the ball, get ourselves active, and begin really taking it seriously, this phrase, do for self.
And
now you get into, this year, you get into 2013, and we hear that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing a 52-week lecture series called The Time and What Must Be Done. Each week, he's given a forecast of what's going on, what's coming in terms of the climate and the atmosphere in America, in, on the political scene, on the economic scene, and just what's in store for America, with guidance and warning, and also 52 weeks of guidance to us so that we can get out of harm's way. And a big part of the efforts for this year are all about the economic blueprint, taking business seriously, and doing what we can to end poverty and want. You know, I referenced the town hall meeting that he had late last year. Several times on this show, I've discussed that, and I pointed out that there were three particular instances in that particular meeting or that particular webcast where he really focused on and highlighted the need for viable solutions, viable alternatives to what's going on throughout the black community as it relates to unemployment and the wealth gap that we see, where they say that black people lag far behind their white counterparts and it'll take another 50 years or so before there's even a glimpse or a semblance of parity or equality, just as it relates to income. Not, it's not even touching net worth and, you know, per capita wealth and all of that stuff. Not touching that. Just talking about before, on average, the income and earning potential gets to be about the same. So the need is so clear and so present that we have to start providing solutions so that our youth, black youth, have opportunities, because we know they're not being employed. I think the statistics say that 41% of black youth are unemployed. Black youth is anyone between 25 and, I guess, 18. They gotta be,
I think,
employed,
it's the person that's just 16. I think they started at 16 to 25.
16 to 25. So 41%. That's crazy. And I don't know about you. We can't afford to hold our breath and wait for somebody else to come up with a solution for that. So more and more the order of the day is, solve the problem. Present your answer to that particular problem.
Right. Well, I already have an answer.
Uh-oh. Sister Gidget got an answer, y'all. What is your answer, Sister Gizzy?
No, you know, the more I think about it, Brother Vernon, you know, I tell you, white people, they have a tendency to groom or train their children in the financial direction that they want them to go. Not only using the tools of education and encouragement, but black people who own business or who have a desire to own business, they train their children at a very early age to have that mindset. And so a lot of us, what we oftentimes do is that we try to encourage our children to get an education so they can get a good job. But we need to teach our children skill sets, starting from a very early age, so that they can have an independent skill that they can go out and utilize even prior to going to college. You know, they spend a lot of summer time wasting time playing video games or going to basketball camps and things of this nature, but very little time is spent in educating them in a skill in which they can financially better themselves, even as, you know, preteens, teenagers, college students, whatever, and to condition their mind to come out and be independent business owners, and so that by the time that they're 30, they will not be employees but employers. So we have to start grooming ourselves to groom our children in a better direction. For those of us who are in our late 30s and 40s and we've been working in corporate America for all of this time, we need to think about investment in ourselves. We need to start paying ourselves so that we can build independent businesses. We have to get the understanding of the political and process and the bureaucracies of the things that are coming against all people of color, because no one is going to look out for us. If we don't wake up, we're going to be a totally destitute people in the hells of North America, and whatever services they're going to provide, trust, if we get any, we're definitely going to be the last buttons on the coat. So we have to get into a different frame of mind, and nobody understands the urgency. We oftentimes talk about this on this show, and we address it on other shows, but we as a people as a whole do not understand the urgency. And that's because we've been so conditioned to depend upon our government to take care of us. But it starts in the mind process and the thinking process and being honest and being realistic about what's going on today. And so America is on the brink of destruction financially. What are we going to do in this country to survive? That's the kind of thing we have to think about. You know, we can't think about government entities, grants, welfare, food stamps, Social Security. You can might as well throw all of that out the window, because America doesn't have that. So what are we going to do to survive? What are we going to do about educating our children? What are we going to do about taking care of our elderly? How are we preparing for our retirement age? You know, those are the things we need to think about, and we need to get on the ball of building businesses in the black communities. Not only that, we need to own our communities. Because it's about, I think it's 68% of black America, they are leasing property. Leasing property. 68%. We don't own nothing.
Wow. So whoever does own it at any point in time can get the gumption and say, look, y'all got to go.
Right. Because if you think about it, if you have a landlord and you're staying in a house and you're paying $1,200, $1,500 a month, and he's living in a house and he still has a mortgage and this house is $500,000, well, when it's time for him to bite the bullet, you're going to have to go. Because you've already paid for that house by paying the lease. You paid for that house. He's going to go back to what he owns. To keep whatever monies he has, you know, available to him. So we can't be, you know, just keep turning a blind eye and being oblivious to what is obviously going on around here. And we talk about the youth being unemployed. Let me tell you something. The youth are unemployed on purpose. And the reason why is because you have to think about the level and the process of the politics of the criminal justice system. If they start issuing out tickets to youth for getting to high school scraps or junior high school scraps, fights or whatever, and you are now getting a ticket that creates a criminal record for you, then by the time you're 18 years old, you can't get a job at McDonald's. Some institutions of higher learning will not let you in, so they're going to leave you one game to play. Either you're going to be a robber or a hustler or something like that. They're going to incarcerate you. They're going to hand you out massive amount of time, and you're going to end up working for free. It's nothing but reverse slavery. So that's the game, and I think that we have tiptoed and walked on eggshells and tried to break it to people gently. But I'm telling you like it is. Black youth are unemployed on purpose. Black men in particular are unemployed on purpose.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And it's time, it's high time, really, for us in our community, particularly grown men, to take responsibility for other younger men. It's time to take responsibility. It's time to open your wing, take on a protege, be a mentor to someone. This weekend we had the opportunity to have two 19-year-old young men from New York come into the class. Now, I don't know about everywhere else in the country, but and I certainly know that when I was 19, I didn't have the opportunity to do this, but for 4 days, we had these two 19-year-old young men who started out in a shell, started out not being able to communicate the way that they need to be able to communicate in this world, started out not having anything to offer, and we gave them a skill set. We gave them a whole new way of seeing things that enables them to step into just about any arena they need to and make a way for themselves. That's the work. That's what it's about. We got to empower the next generation. We know that the chips are stacked and the deck is stacked against them. So if we're not actively doing something to reverse that trend or tip the scales back in their favor, we're just letting them march right on into the slaughter. We can't afford to do that. We can't afford to do that, not knowing that as you said, the criminal justice system now is doing such sinister, devious acts as any little thing, something as simple as a scuffle, an altercation that you get into will result in something that sticks on your permanent record and weighs against you at the most critical time when you need an opportunity or when you need to begin making the serious decisions for your life. That's crazy. You mean to tell me that a 16 or 17-year-old can get himself in trouble, and by the time he's 18, when it's time to start going out, doing for self, you know, getting a job or whatever it is, he's got all these things from the past that shouldn't have even mattered at that point, but now they're hanging over his head and totally cutting him off from a viable future for himself? That's crazy. We got work to do. We have serious work to do. And like you said, the things that we are choosing to allow our children to be exposed to, you know, video games, and, oh, I've got to get my son an Xbox and a PlayStation 3, and, you know, in order for children to be well-rounded, what they really need is a new boys and girls club, or they need more basketball courts. That's ridiculous. The exposure that we need to give them is to science, technology, education, and engineering and mathematics contests. I was, for the past 2 months, I think in the last 2 months of 2012, in the communities and in the groups that I'm involved in, I was trying my best to promote this competition that's going on. It's called Asia in a Box. It's the National Association of Mathematics, Engineering, and Science. They're sponsoring a competition called Asia in a Box, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math competition. Now check this out, Sister Gidget. They put together like a reality show. Although it's not a show, it's like a survival series, okay? Called The Science of Survival. and they set a scenario. They said, oh, all the electricity on the planet is gone, you know, it's totally gone. So they got these students. I think it's open to anyone from elementary school on up to the high school level. And they gave them kind of like a glorified science fair. Okay, they said you got four areas. Here's your scenario. All your electricity is gone. All the electricity all over the planet is gone. So you got to survive. You got four areas: communication, purifying water, generating heat or cooling, you know, depending on where on the planet you are, and alternative energy, alternative power source, windmills, solar panels, whatever it is you have to do. They have to pick an area, and they have to complete the science project that deals with actually solving the problem. So if you know that you don't have any way to purify water, what's coming out your tap, which wasn't good in the first place, is certainly not going to be good now because water purification plants don't have electricity. So youth, children, elementary school children now, are tasked with finding the science and actually coming up with an invention or a solution that's going to address that issue so that they can survive. Okay, communication.
Wow.
If you didn't have your cell phone, if you didn't have the internet, if we didn't have no more Facebook or Blog Talk Radio, how would you get the word out to your loved ones on the East Coast? How would I in the Northeast get in touch with the people that are in my family in the Southwest? We got to think about that. We don't think about that. You know, the average one of us is, you know, waiting on a mystery guy. We're waiting to see what FEMA's going to step in and do for us. But we know that there is no mystery guy. We know we certainly can't depend on FEMA or the government to take care of our need. That's why it's so important to do for self. But that's the project. That's the exposure that other communities and people who are in the know are exposing their youth to. That's what they're exposing their elementary school and middle school and high school students to. We expose ourselves and our children to BET, the Cartoon Network, you know, just as much nonsense as we can. iPad, and Angry Birds. I know people who specialize in that. I know black youth who can tell me everything about Angry Birds and Ninjago and all of this stuff that comes on, cartoon characters and, you know, superheroes, imagination and fantasy. But when it's time to do something like follow simple instructions that are the basis for survival, we're behind the curve, and we got to do better. We have to make opportunities to expose our youth, to expose our children, and expose the people that we love to what's going to get them ahead. So that's why here on the No Romance Without Finance show, so much of what we espouse is about economic empowerment, financial education, because if we don't have the means, if we don't have the resources, if we don't know how to generate nothing out of something or something out of nothing, you know, if you can't sit on the fence and make a dollar out of 15 cents, you're really going to be short. But these are the skills that we got to become masterful at. So that's what the name of the game is. That's what this weekend has been all about. And like I said, I'm so pumped. I'm excited because I see some good things on the horizon, and as much energy and force and power as it took to muster up and get to and through this weekend, I got to find a way to generate some more of that and do it again, because something phenomenal is definitely going to happen and definitely on the horizon. So we got a break coming up soon. We got a guest on the line. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if Brother Eric is still with us. Brother Eric, on the way to New York, are you still on the line with us? Mr. E, he's on the line. He might be on hold, or he might have had to click
hello,
over.
Hello.
There he is. Hey, brother, how you feeling?
I'm feeling real good, right. Brother Vernon. What about you, man?
Good stuff, man. We are right on the beginning of a break. We're going to take a break for a minute. Then we're going to come back, get a word from our sponsor, and then you ready to join the discussion?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, brother. Hold on. Stick, stay. Don't you dare go away.
Okay.
All right, folks. We're going to take a break. We're at the almost at the top of the hour. It's almost 8 o'clock. We'll take a little break, Sister Gidget, see if I can get guest number 2 on the line. And while we're doing that, why don't you listen to, I'm going to have a nostalgic moment for you, Sister Gidget. I know you like to go back every once in a while. So, you know, last week I left something here for you. I don't know how well it went over, but this one here, this will be for you, okay?
Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, welcome back to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad. We are on the No Romance Without Finance show. And Sister Gidget, I don't know what happened there. I thought that I had lined up. I know that, you know, you were really down with the 70s and whatnot. I thought that you liked the Bee Gees. I had something special in store for you from the Bee Gees, but I guess you lucked up because you got James Brown and the Big Payback. I ain't gonna, don't be ashamed because you used to like the Bee Gees. I used to like the Bee Gees too. They was all right with me. You ain't got to feel ashamed. There's some kind of way about that.
I love the Bee Gees. How deep is your love? How deep?
I know the deal. You know, get that moment. You just gotta calm it down a little while. No problem, but you know, we had to keep it real. So whatever technical difficulty occurs, you just, you know, you're gonna get paid back later on.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right. Well, I just wanted to take a moment and let you all know. For those of you who didn't already know, there is an economic freedom movement that's going on and is destined to reach its pinnacle this year. If we ever needed to begin to put trade and commerce and industry and entrepreneurship and doing for self and cooperative economics at the forefront, the time is now. Your brothers and your sisters from the Nation of Islam are producing, are manufacturing, and distributing our own brand of bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, and a bunch of other personal care paper products. Freedom Paper Company is your one-stop shop for all your personal paper product needs. So visit www.freedompapercompany.com. Buy black, support your own, let's do for self. Freedom is what you deserve. All right, so we've got our first guest on the line, Sister Gidget, Brother Eric. Brother Eric from Long Island, New York. How
yes,
you feeling,
yes,
brother?
Yes, Yes, I'm feeling real good, man. Feeling real good and motivated.
All right, all right. Good to have you on with us. Give me a greeting and say what's up to my good sister, my dear sister from Texas. This is Sister Gidget Muhammad. Sister Gidget, say what's up to Brother Eric.
Assalamu alaikum and good evening to you, sir. How are you, Brother Eric?
I'm very good myself. Just feeling real good about the opportunity I have. What about yourself, sister?
I am blessed. I'm blessed to be here with two fine gentlemen such as yourself. So,
okay.
It's a blessing and an honor.
Definitely is.
I think that was mighty nice of you to include Brother Eric in that, you know, that salutation, because, you know, I thought you were just going to talk about me being fine, you know.
Oh, Brother Vernon, that is wishful thinking, though.
All right, Brother Eric. I want to touch base with you, man, because I know that you are on the same high that I was on. You and I have spent, along with a bunch of other people, we spent the last 4 days together talking about the science of business and actually mapping out a game plan so that you, specifically you, up in the Big Apple, up in the city that never sleeps, where there are 8 million stories, you actually have a viable way and a means by which you can turn your own and your own economic picture and the economic picture of plenty of other people around. Tell us a little bit about what you experienced this weekend.
Well, I basically experienced a very powerful movement that has just brought my highs to a new level. Just to be a young black man in America today is enough of a struggle, but when you find an opportunity that will put you on the next level and you can understand what it's going to do for you, it just brings you to a new moment in your life. And like I said before, when we closed out those 4 great days, when we were all saying our goodbyes, like, people need to understand that Brother Kamos has created an opportunity to really give back to us, power, so we could feed our people as a whole. Like, it's not going to get any better. It will only get worse if we don't really take action now. The whole word is action. Like, that's what we have to be about, is action. A lot of people don't know how to be about action. Like, everything that I experienced this weekend was life-changing. It just made me realize how special of an opportunity I have and how special it is to be a black male in America and not take the downfalls or the hits or belittle myself because what America says, but to actually use those activities and use them for a positive to make me even hungrier to want to accomplish and be more and to succeed and give back to all my black brothers and sisters and to know that they could be something too. And I wish people would just take time out to really understand that instead of settling, looking for a job or wanting to just settle for the bare minimum, because we don't have to. We weren't promised that. We were promised to be great and accept all great things and expect great things. As long as we put the work forth, great things will happen. And it's somewhere within my generation that's coming up now that we lost that, because it's like within my generation, everything was just given to us. Like, everyone was spoiled. No one really had to work hard for anything, not like you guys did, you know? So that's the problem with my generation. Like you guys said before, there's a lot of key good points that you guys actually said with the reverse slavery and how we get caught in the jail system, and they, once you get in the system, you can't get out the system, because I have at least like 5 or 6, 7, 8 kids I grew up with that I still have contact with today that have been in and out of jail since they were 14, and it all started from taking a bike out somebody's yard and being locked up one time, or making a ruckus in a movie theater, and it just kept, and they gave them 90 days, 60 days, 30 days, and it just kept building on from there and there until they actually became career felons, and it's just sad how it turns out to be. And I just wish more people would realize the opportunities that we have to grow. Like, people don't really understand that we are a great nation. Like, we can really do anything that we put our mind to. Like, but we only succeed in the areas that the world wants to put out there. They want us to succeed, like you said, to put a basketball court or play these video games. They just want us to succeed in being an athlete. Like, that's the only way and means of making money, to get great money, is to be an athlete, or to be a rapper, or to, like, music is beautiful, don't get it wrong, but the music that's being put out today is telling people to get get locked up back in jail. Like, it's cool to do that. That's the cool thing to do. It's cool to be, quote-unquote, a real ignorant person, a N-I-G-G-A. That's the way to be nowadays. Like, if you're not a real N-I-G-G-A, it's just you're not a cool person in my generation. And the way that you all conduct yourself just to be like that, to be cool, you have to go out and steal, rob, shoot, and kill just to be respected and look at somebody. And it's pretty sad. And this four-day weekend just showed me so much. I was with 7 to 8 beautiful people that just showed me an opportunity that could increase me to grow more, to become a more mature young man, to understand that there's way more to life besides the little box that America shows us that they want to fit us in. There's so much more for us to do. Our mind, our soul, the big muscle we have is our mind. And people don't use it to its advantage. Like, people fail to realize that in our community amongst young people. Like, I try to learn from people like Brother Vernon and Brother Camos, because those are great black men in the community. We need more men like that to upbring our young children. And them right there, those are going to be first in my life from now on, because this opportunity I've learned, they'll be around me forever now, and I have nothing but great respect for these two men that are handling their business the right way to try to get back to our community. And I just appreciate that. And Brother Vernon, I want to say thank you again for everything that you showed me, the conversations we had, and the way that I could relate to you and be comfortable with you and communicate with you, because I see a lot of things in yourself that I would want to be once I reach my full potential. And I want to thank you for that, brother.
Wow, brother, that's very humbling. I got to thank God for even allowing me to hear those words come from someone, man. That is it does my heart good, number one, to know that you are paying attention to anything that we had to offer, that we had to say for this weekend, because we really put our heart and our soul in it, and behind mm-hmm. all of the preparation and all the work that we did was a sincere intention to do good, to make the biggest difference that we could, number one, in who we could touch right then and there, but also mm-hmm. knowing that you're going to go back to New York and other people are going back to other parts of the country. We want to make a difference that's going to last years and years into the future. So I hope that I can become as good as you're saying and giving me accolades for. You know, I got
to
thank God for that.
Yes,
and I certainly want to make sure that next year or a year after that is not just me and Brother Camos, but, you know, we want you on board. We want the other two brothers who were there on board. We got work to do,
yes.
You know. We definitely got work to do, and they say each one teach one, and each one got to reach back and find one. So when I get a chance to come up there in New York, we're going to team up, go and get some more, and, you know, we're going to have plenty of trips up and down the East Coast doing the right thing and making good impact wherever we go. I tell you what, we had as many heroes and idols as are put in front of us, that may not necessarily be the best role models for us. You know, we constantly see rappers and athletes, and as you were saying, and people who want to be ballers and people who want to be players and this and that and the other. Well, we learned about a new hero this weekend. If there's anybody that you want to teach your young son or even your young daughter about, we learned about Reginald F. Lewis. That's right,
yes.
Reginald F. Lewis. He was the only, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm saying it right, he was the only black person to ever become the head or the CEO of an international food distribution business. So an international, he cornered an industry, food distribution. He cornered an industry, TLC Beatrice. Was the name of the company that he founded. It was a multi-million-dollar food distribution company in the 80s and in the 90s, I believe it was. And this brother did phenomenal things. He wrote a book called Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? It was his autobiography about how he rose from meager beginnings, went through what he had to go through, which is probably what a whole lot of other black men in this country go through, what he had to escape from, what he had to rise and overcome, and how he eventually was able to get into the game, and how he had to navigate himself so that he can avoid the pitfalls and become a success. Why should white guys have all the fun? By Reginald F. Lewis. Unless you learn about brilliant shining stars, you probably won't have the capacity and potential to become a brilliant, bright and shining star. So check that one out. Expose our young boys and our young girls to some of the new heroes that we have in our legacy. Brother, Eric, tell me this. Tell me a little bit about what you picked up this weekend. You know, you learned a lot. I know we bombarded you with stuff, and you probably got to sit there and let your brain go to jelly for a little bit just to recover and recuperate. But if you can dig something out of one of the solid parts that's still intact, share a little bit about the value of one of the things that you learned. What are one of the skills that you picked up? Because we talked about a lot of different things in a lot of different areas. What did you find most valuable?
What I found most valuable is that we have a very valued product that we are looking to give to this country. And the great things that are built on the morals of this company is very valued. Like, we have a great product that is actually eco-friendly, like grade A paper. People need this in this country. You know what I'm saying? It's a very valued product. It has a lot of different features and benefits that it can offer to everyone that actually uses, with incentives, the rebates. Like, we're going to give back to our people for using products with us that is actually good for them to use. Like, the value of the company and the product is magnificent, with the potential that it has to go through the roof and break boundaries in this one specific category of paper products, especially with the toilet tissue, with the bathroom tissue, Brother Vernon, bathroom tissue, and the paper towels. Like, it's just amazing what we could do and where we could take this valued product. That's what we got from it. Just the value, just understanding how valued and important this product is to everyone around. Like, it's really great to have. And the way that you and Brother Chamos have set it up to be used is just amazing, that we could use actually recycled paper and turn it into something that people can use again, even better than the first product that they would originally bought. Like, it's just the value of the company and the product is just amazing. So that's how we got from just the value. Just the value. That's supposed to say just the value, sir.
Awesome. I think that when you talk about the marketplace, and certainly in our community, if there's anything that needs to come in more or that we need more of, it's something that really is of value. I remember listening to a lecture by one of the great ministers of the Nation of Islam, of the history of the Nation of Islam. His name is Abdulallah Muhammad. Brilliant brother. He's a senior, he's an elder now. I think he's well up into his 80s, if he's not 90 years old already. But he's got the reputation of being a walking encyclopedia. And when I listen to some of the other old timers talk about, you know, the history back in the days in the 50s and in the 60s, they said there were the way they said it was funny, they said there were two cats that was tearing up America. On the East Coast, it was Malcolm X, and on the West Coast, it was John Shabazz. John Shabazz was Abdulallah Muhammad. This brother, who was known as a walking encyclopedia, could just touch on so many different topics. One time he did a lecture entitled Nothing from Nothing. The name of it was Nothing from Nothing. And you know, there used to be an old song, Nothing from Nothing Leaves Nothing. Well, he took that around. Yeah. He put some mathematics to it. He said, if you got nothing and you take nothing away from nothing, you're left with God. He said, you look at our community and you look at what the people in our community have been assaulted with and beaten down to. You know, we're beaten down to one step above nothing. You know, we've been demonized, as I was saying about young black men nowadays. The idea of equating black male with criminal, or black male with unemployment, or black male with lack of education, black male with poverty, all of that stuff has been put out there almost to the point where the whole world has the black man in those public enemy crosshairs, you know, Nobody is expecting anything good from black men. So you can say the black men have been beaten down to nothing. And, you know, no man can rise above the condition of the rest of his people. So if the black man has been beaten down to nothing, then all of us have been beaten down to almost nothing in the eyes of so many of the world. That's why there was such a campaign to put menace to society and boys in the hood and whatnot out there. You know, they just wanted to see and project and portray the worst of the worst that black men and black people in general are capable of. But Mr. Abdul-Allah Muhammad said, if you take all that away, you know, just like if you pitted a prune, that means you take the seed out. If you colored something, that means you actually remove the color from it. He said, if you take nothing from nothing, if you remove all of this stuff, cigarettes and alcohol and black-on-black violence and promiscuity and all the things that we have so much of, which really amounts to nothing, if you take nothing away from nothing, you're left with God. When you get a black man who refuses to smoke, who refuses to do drugs, who refuses to fornicate, who refuses to debase black women, then you're left with a man that reflects the mind and the attitude of God. So just as it says in the Bible, Jesus said, Paul said of Jesus, be ye renewed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? When we renew our minds, when we take the old ideas that limited us before out, and we want to renew ourselves and we put a new idea in, you get a whole new kind of creation. So I think that we were actually experiencing something, and we were actually a part of something that was much bigger than just a training program today. We were in the process of being transformed so that we can step out onto the scene like new men and new women and actually produce something that was much greater than what we came in with in mind. So I'm excited about the potential of what's on the table now. And answer this question for me. You said that you made a distinction about, you know, your generation and my generation. How old are you? Eric? Uh-oh, we lost Eric. Eric's call dropped. I'm going to try to get Eric back. I was going to say, Sister Gidget, did you notice that while he was talking, just like, you know, as is so typical when we're talking to the youth, you didn't hear him say or he didn't mumble or stutter or anything like that the whole time we were speaking?
No, that's because he was very sure of himself. And he was very focused, and he's obviously very educated. So, I don't mean institutionally educated. I mean educated from a grassroots level and having that direction and understanding of where we are in this time.
No doubt about that. I was going to say one of the areas that we focused on so much this weekend was, we had a whole section called The Art of Conversation.
Yes, hello, brother.
All right, brother. I think you might have just driven through a dark spot or something like that because I lost you. I'm glad I got you back, brother.
Yeah, definitely.
I was trying to find out. I got you, brother. I ain't going to let you go. Hey, I was trying to find out your age, brother. You made a distinction between your age and my age, or your generation and my generation, like I'm all that far ahead of you. How old are you?
No. 24.
Wow, 24.
Yeah.
Man,
yes.
I'm almost old enough to be your daddy.
Oh man, don't say it like that. You don't look a day past it though. I wouldn't be able to tell.
But I thought that it was so wonderful, and I was telling Sister Gidget about one of the segments as I listened to you. You know, and as I listen to so many other people in your generation and around that age and their, you know, 19, 20 and early 20s, just having a conversation sometimes can be so difficult because I hear so many ums and you know what I'm saying and you know what I mean, but it's refreshing speaking to you because I didn't hear any of that in the conversation. You project yourself very clearly, and I highlighted that because one of the areas that's so critical to our success in life in general, anywhere we go, is the art of conversation. And that's something that I talked about a lot during the course of this weekend. What did you learn about listening and conversation and hearing and speaking at the same time?
You have to be an active listener. Like, people listen, but they're not actually active listeners. Like, you could, someone could be, I'm humming you, saying yes to you the whole time, but they didn't clearly accept what you were really saying. They didn't comprehend it. That's what a lot of people I talk to nowadays, my age, or a lot of people in general, like, I would want to tell them what's so great about what could happen in life. They really think about it and just put a little action or just apply themselves a little bit. And then you talk to them, they say yes to you to death, but within the same sentence, they'll end up talking about what just came on the television. Like, did you see that? I'm like, why don't you give me a responsive answer of what we were just talking about? Engage me. Let's converse. Just like you said, just being able to articulate a conversation. A lot of people don't care to want to talk about intellectual things or things that would be positive for them. Majority of people that do are females. That's why I like being engaged in conversations with females, because normally they mature faster than men, older or younger. Even if they're sliding back on a bad end, younger females, they tend to even mature and catch themselves, and they'll fix the role that they're on, and they'll mature way faster than men. And that's what I got from this four-day excellent training course, to be great and to be an active listener and to pay attention to what I'm listening to. Just don't say yes, hum somebody 24/7, because you're not actually really listening. Let them know that you're listening by conversing with them what the conversation or topic is actually about. And a lot of people still don't know how to do that. And we've learned how to do that. We've learned different personalities, different ways that people carry themselves, different ways that certain personalities actually have their conversations. Like, while I was there, I was pretty – I understood what type of personalities I had, but I actually learned how to have one dominate more than another one that I didn't really prefer in this profession and industry that I'm embarking on. So communication is key with everything. It's key with the business. Because if you can't communicate to your consumer, your customer, the market that you need to converse and communicate to, how will your business thrive in a country like this? You have to get your point across. You have to let them know the benefits that you can offer to them, how you can fulfill their needs. You have to let them know that this is a serious ordeal and that you want to help them. You want to help them save to be able to get good products of value that is in the country, you know? So you must know how to communicate. You can't go into a business meeting saying, yeah, you feel me? You feel me? You feel me? You understand where I'm coming from, right? You know? Yeah. That's what's up. A business person wouldn't take that no type of way. You leave that room broke, and you continue to be broke, and your business would die in America like a lot of small businesses did, and they still do. We're at a disadvantage as a small business, and plus the fact that we're a black-owned business, we're at a disadvantage from the beginning. So if you're not on your A game, then the game that you're on is a game that doesn't count. Yeah, you could build yourself up, but it's going to take you longer. You know, you always want to learn these skills. Like, I've been teaching myself these skills for the last 2 years. I've always had them, but I actually critique them. Like, I have a future diary, like you've seen, Brother Vernon. I love my binder. Everything is in there. Everything that goes on that I feel that is important in life goes in that binder. I'm so scared to leave that binder at home. I bring it with me when I'm on the job, when I'm in the car. That has to be near me. I'm not using it. I won't have to use it for a week straight, but as long as it's within arm's reach, because I feel lost without that binder. Like, it has everything that I want to accomplish in life, my goals, not even just the business goals, just my life goals, my family goals, my financial goals, my spiritual goals, my mental goals. I just track everything in there. And it's not like that it's a journal. It's just a future diary. That's what I call it. It's my seed. It's my investment entrepreneur seed. That's what I call it. Everything, because everything that we plant must be, it has a season that it will, it has this harvest season for everything that we plant. And it will come out in the right season. It will manifest. So that is my seed. And my seed is so big. Like, I'm planting an oak tree. That is my oak seed tree. And it's not even just for me. It's for everyone, because everyone must benefit. If I'm doing anything, it's not for the benefit of me. Of course, I want to secure a foundation to build upon, But once the foundation is built, everyone must be able to benefit from everything I'm doing, no matter what it is. If I'm making an investment, I'm going to push myself 100 times hard, or just so someone could just be able to reap one. Even if it's, if you could reap from me $100 a month or $20 a month, it's better than not reaping anything at all. I want everyone to benefit. If I could just help someone just push themselves a little harder just to get that job, just to be able to critique things in an interview that they weren't being able to do before, I just want everyone to be able to benefit and be able to learn and be active listeners, as we learned this weekend with Brother Camos and Brother Vernon and Sister Katrina, that being an active listener is a very important and delicate thing that we have to learn how to do in life. Like, you could be a good listener, but you – go ahead, sir.
I didn't want to interrupt your flow, but you touched on something that during the course of you speaking, I caught so many different things. I laughed because, you had me thinking about the different types of scenarios that in the training we said you would go out and, pretend that you're talking to the head of a medical facility. We ran drills where you were going out and you were talking to school principals and you were talking to people who were on the board of education about the idea and the possibility of doing business. And I just thought... I thought about, someone stepping into a conversation and saying, "You feel me?" something.
They'd be looking at that brother like, "Are you serious, brother? Okay, yeah, right. I feel you. I feel you need to leave. Yeah, okay.
I feel you leaving."
Exactly.
Well, Eric, you said something at the end of the whole at the end of the competition that you had with Jameson. You said something at the end of that about what you learned from her. Share some of that.
Well, what I learned from Sister Jameson, she's a great, awesome woman. She is excellent. She speaks very proper. She knows how to make people feel comfortable. She knows how to be a warming person. Just her conversation flow was so smooth and delicate and elegant. Like, when you see those balls, when people just grace across the floor with their dresses and their gowns, that's the flow that she had that came from her mouth. It was so beautiful. So as we were in this training course, I just sat there and I watched her. Just a certain words that she used that would be able to get somebody a difference from landing a contract for $10,000 between $60,000. Just the words that she used and placed on the customers and the situations that we had, it was so beautiful. And I sat back and it made me realize the things that I was doing wrong. Like, sometimes we need a wake-up call. Everyone just thinks everything that they do is so amazing, so great, that they're just perfect. Not even that they're just perfect, that, like, no one can critique them. And people sort of realize what we need in life, we need people around us that's going to not criticize us but give us constructive criticism, because it is constructive. It's not criticism, but it is constructive criticism. And it will
right,
just help
just
you.
Right, not criticism for the sake of criticizing, right.
Yes, sir, yes. And it's just the way that they come about it. Like, they would talk to you like, you know what, you did a lot of good things, but just if you did this like this, it'd be even better, and it would bring you to a new level. Like, one thing I noticed that Brother Camos and Katrina did was they never said anybody did anything wrong the whole 4 days. They never downplayed anybody, no matter what it was. They said everybody was excellent. That was a good answer. That was excellent. It was this, it was that. And not to get off topic about Sister Jameson, but it ties into it, because the way that they talked, and I was learning from them, they didn't downplay anybody at all. Anything you said was the correct answer. They had a positive outcome on everything. Same thing with you, Brother Vernon. Everything was a positive outcome. And they let us know how to fix the positive and turn it into an even better positive, instead of like, yeah, that was wrong, this is how you should have done it. No, they said that was great, and if you just did it like this, it'd be even better. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, And that's what people need to learn, how to do things like that. And Sister Jameson, just the way, the things I learned from her, she was already good at that. And just from the training, it took her to a new level. It was even a better level that I learned from that. It was just amazing, and it was great. Brother Vernon,
that's
and the
awesome.
Listeners out there, she's a very
that's
comfortable.
Awesome.
She has a very comfortable, welcoming, like a comfortable spirit. And she has a beautiful spirit that just accepts everyone coming in. And I wanted to get something like that going for myself, so I just watched her. I paid attention. She's an awesome woman. She's a great woman, and she's going to be very successful in this industry.
That's awesome. You know, for those of you who are listening, Jameson, Sister Jameson was one of the the training, the boot camp. I call it the Science of Business boot camp training. She was one of the attendees, one of the participants. This really was like a boot camp because it was intense. It was all day long, Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday, and Sunday. We got a little bit of a break for Sunday because it was the last day. Just a little bit of a break. But Sister Jameson was one of the attendees. She wasn't a trainer. What we tried to do, life is like a box of chocolates. You know, you never know what you're going to get. I heard never. That from Forrest Gump. But when we got this class together, we didn't know who all was going to be there. We knew who was attending, but we couldn't tell until you all began engaging us and engaging one another that we actually got a class of high caliber and high quality individuals together to see what we can bring out of you all and what would happen, how you all would be of benefit to yourselves and to each other. And it was just phenomenal to see the way you and her played off of one another and how your strength was really what she said she wanted to get strong in, and her strength was what you wanted to get strong in. And, you know, everybody in the class had something of value to offer, but just by the interplay that we had with one another, everybody made everybody sharper. And that's a phenomenal thing. I'm looking at getting Sister Jameson on a future show because, you know, the science of business, I don't know if you knew this, we actually didn't mention it at any time during the past 4 days, but one of the things that we learned from the leader of the Nation of Islam, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was that way back sometime in the early part, in the early history of America, there's actually in the record where some congressman, I don't know which congressman it was, but in the early years of this country, one of them actually declared that there are three things that they would make sure they never, ever allowed black people who were enslaved at the time, they would never allow them to learn. One was the science of warfare, obviously. You know, you got people enslaved, you ain't going to teach them how to, you know, understand military science. They said they would never teach them the science of mating because, if you know, you got a smart one over here and a smart one over there, they ain't supposed to learn about one another and actually get together and produce a smarter child or a stronger child. We don't want that to happen, is what they said. And the third thing that they said they never wanted to see or allow to get among black people is the science of business. This is actually what some of the founding fathers of America implemented as policy and as a way of life in this country. So I think that you and myself and everybody who's there today are doing our ancestors proud because somebody took deliberate effort to make sure that you and I never learn how to empower ourselves and how to be able to stand regardless to whether somebody gives us a job or not. We ain't going back. We're not turning around. And once our minds have been expanded to the degree that they have been, we will never snap back, never snap back to how we used to be. So you may have been able to fool us in the past, but the future and the road ahead looks bright because we're not being fooled anymore. You can't fool us nowadays. So I'm very proud of you, young man. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think that you are definitely going to be a stellar performer. You definitely have something good in your hands. You saw the value of what we were offering. And as we said in the class, anything that you need to make sure that you are successful and that you hit your goals and that you overcome obstacles, we are at your disposal to make sure that we do that. That's actually an aspect of the science of business. We're here to serve you because together we both grow strong. That's cooperative economics, and that's got to be the new way that we look at doing business among our people. We got to put that business code of ethics that Brother Kamos talked about, put that into effect and make that our way of life. So, brother, I give you a salute, and I tell you, we're going to be in touch a whole lot because I want to see you successful.
No doubt about it.
So, hey, brother, I know that you are, you know, trying to relax and whatnot. I don't know if you want to stick on the air. We only got about 20 minutes left. But you're free to hang out with us as we continue the conversation, or if you want to join in or you have anything else to say, you know, just chime on in.
Okay.
All right. All right. Good stuff. So that's it. That's it's 8:38. We got about 20 minutes left to the show. And Sister Gidget, I know that we have a power-packed week coming up. What do you have in store for us?
Wow. You know, Brother Vernon, I want to say this, if you would permit me. You know, we've been doing these shows for quite some time, I think since April of 2012. And I've met so many beautiful people and believers all over the country, and people, you know, they know me now, and you know, that's all fine and good. And I want to make it clear that the Nation Building Network is not Sister Gidget's program. This is a program dedicated to all of the believers and all of our family, our black family. We have now grown to 6 shows a week, and you know, inshallah, we will be able to reach everyone, and that is the goal. So this particular network here is a service. It's not anyone in particular show, and I just want to make that clear. So I want everyone who is listening to understand that if there are any ideas that you have, if there are any topics that you have that you want us to discuss, if there is a whole show that you want to put on, please note that you are free to do so. You can contact me if you want to talk about finances. You can contact Brother Vernon. I'm pretty sure Brother Vernon wouldn't mind turning over the reins of hosting for a day. At least I know I wouldn't. So I just want to know that everyone who has a true and righteous agenda is welcome. And so, Brother Vernon, we have added a couple of new shows. So now we are up to 6 days a week, starting on Tuesday. We have Out on the Front Line, hosted by Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. I forgot who he has coming on this week. Oh, my goodness, I'm so terrible. I can't remember everybody. But that's every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time. We have DJ Black Fiza and Friends. That's kind of our comedy hip-hop show. Probably some of the younger people will enjoy that show. That show is on 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. On Thursday, that's the show that I host. It's called Nation Building Presents. This week we are having Closing the Gap Between the Black Man and Black Woman, Part 2. We're going to have one of the largest. Sir?
I said, yes, Lord. I was just bearing witness. We need to close the gap.
We're going to have one of the largest panels we've ever had on any Blog Talk show we've ever done. We're having 12 people on the panel. And so the FOI and MGT are face-to-face in Closing the Gap. And on Friday, we're going to be introducing our new show, which is an live online study group with Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. And he will be bringing to us the study of every study guide that comes out in our study groups on Friday. So for those of you who don't live near a mosque or don't have a study group in your area, you will be able to study live online or via telephone with Minister James Muhammad, very qualified brother, been in the nation for over 30 years, very beloved minister down in the 7th region. And so I hope that you all will join us for that show. And then on Saturday, there's one show I'm very particularly proud of, is Young, Gifted, and Black, because these young people have stepped up to the plate and they are bringing positive and conscious music. And our goal is to dominate the airwaves with the conscious music, and let's extract all the negativity and the demeaning of women and talking about guns and drugs. And we're going to talk about, you know, Allah and righteousness and building a nation and unification and, you know, being independent from this world. So they are really bringing some very powerful music to the airwaves, and we're going to make sure that we promote them and help them dominate this industry with conscious music. And then, of course, we have our beloved Brother Vernon. Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry. The Saturday night show is also 8 p.m. Central Time. And then on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central, we have our beloved Brother Vernon, who brings us No Romance with Our Finance, putting it down about the money and the economic situation and what we can do to improve ourselves and make ourselves independently financially. So that's our lineup, Brother Vernon.
Just to get you, If we start getting this finance thing down packed, I'm going to start playing Teddy Pendergrass music on my show. No romance without finance. Come on, y'all. Let's get it straight. We got to take care of getting our personal economies together. We got to start doing our budgets, making sure that we got ourselves covered, stop spending down to the red line, stop living from paycheck to paycheck, find out how we can make sure that we create multiple streams of passive income for ourselves and for our families. Yeah. Let's put this into effect so that we can be of greater help and of greater benefit in this cause that we say we believe in so much. We want to make a difference in the lives of black people and black communities all over this country. We want to be able to do something good, bridge the gap as it relates to black people and our Latino brothers, or black people and our Native American brothers and sisters. Well, we got to be able to get our weight up, build ourselves up, so that we can go and have something to offer. So let's go ahead and get our financial houses in order so that we can get on this love train and start to affect change and improve what we see in our communities and in communities all around this country. I want to add one more thing about the finances.
Another problem that we have, and I know a lot of people don't speak to it because a lot of people feel entitled, but I'm telling you, we're living in some very difficult economic times, and I can't drive that home enough. But the key thing, Brother Vernon, is to live within your means. We have made so many corporations rich, filthy rich. We have made Nike rich. We have made Panasonic, Sony rich with everything that we invest in, and we have not invested anything in ourselves. We have made Cadillac very rich. We made Mercedes-Benz very rich. You know, we've made, you know, all kind of designer jeans and shirts and everything. We have made these companies very, very rich, and we have nothing. And I just want people to remember 38% of the population of black people in this country are home owners. Only 38%. And we can go out and buy Nikes, and we got every iPad and every new cell phone that comes out. Live within your means. Stop getting credit. That is a trap. With all this high interest on these credit cards, you spend $500, you spend 5 years paying it back. That is ridiculous. We have to get out of that mindset. And that's all I wanted to say. I'm sorry.
No problem. I appreciate you saying that. That is definitely worthwhile, worth saying. That's a message that we have to drive home, and I'm glad that you came back on to echo how serious it is. We did a show last year, and we're definitely going to bring the subject back around about community and how much we really need one another. As times get hard, when times get rough, you're going to need to have like-minded people around you. And one of the beautiful things about being a part of this beautiful nation is we understand that it's better to move as a team and never move alone. But one step further than that, we need to not live alone. We need to not be alone. We need to be around one another and live in teams, live cooperatively, live as a real community where you look outside your door and you know that if there's somebody around you who's in need, you and everybody else around you will have their back, just like if you are in need, they and everyone else around you will have your back. That's a real community. That's the vision and the aim and intention of the founder of the Nation of Islam, Master W. Farad Muhammad. We know and we understand, as Bob Marley would say, that the mighty God is a living man. So you can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. We are wide awake, and we need to start moving and operating like we are wide awake. It's that time. It is getting more and more serious and more intense as the days go by. So that's why I'm so glad to have started this show out feeling like I'm feeling. I'm on a high, and I know that we've got producing that we have to do. We got work to do, Brother Eric. We got work to do, Sister Gidget. We got work to do, Sister Keisha. So let's get on our square. Let's go ahead and take care of what's before us. We know that people have come in the same vein that we are coming in now. They've gone before us. They've gotten the same information and the same details and statistics and training that we may have been exposed to. But up to this point, in some instances, we see not enough has been done. Well, now the ball is in our hands. You know, Michael Jordan was the greatest one on the scene for a while. Then Kobe came, and he was the greatest for a while. Now we got King James on the scene. Mm-hmm. It's his time to reign. Well, now this knowledge, this training, the science of business that was kept away from other people, the idea about us living together as communities and taking care of one another and looking out for one another, now that is in our hands. It is our legacy to build, to establish, and make sure that we have something to leave behind. Today it was pointed out that Vice President Joe Biden was sworn in today as part of the whole inaugural proceedings and events that are taking place. And he was sworn in on his family Bible, that's been in his family since 1893, and it was gold inlaid and, you know, fine leather and all of that stuff. This was his legacy, something that has been in his family that was of worth and of value, that was passed down from generation to generation to generation. Well, many of us may not have inherited much in the way of tangible goods or tangible wealth, generational wealth from previous generations. We got a lot of other qualities and a lot of other beautiful gifts and talents that were passed on from grandma, from big mama, from dad, or whomever. But now it's our time to establish something that we can leave to the next generation, so that beginning now, one generation after another can improve, can be empowered, and can move on to bigger and better things. It's nation time, brothers and sisters. Let's take it serious, and let's make it count. I thank you all for joining us on the No Romance Without Finance show. Brother Eric, I appreciate you hanging in there with us, soldier. So proud to have met you,
man.
So proud to know you. Sister Gidget.
You too, brother.
My
man.
Good sister. No problem, no problem, brother. Thanks so much. Sister Gidget, I appreciate you having my back and being there for me. I love you so much, sister. Our life would be cold and gray without you. Know that.
I love you too, Brother Brian. One nation, one love. You know how we do it.
You know how we do it. All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. We going out on the strong note.
Welcome back with DJ Black Caesar, a.k.a. The Landlord.
Forgiving what I'm giving up. X on the flex. Never question what I am, God knows. Cause it's coming from the heart. What I got, better get some shit on the hustler of culture. Snake bitten, been spit in the face. But the rhyme keeps fitting, respect been given. How's your living? Now I can't protect, I paid off defects. Check the record and record, intentional wreck. Played off as a minarek. Made the calls, took the falls, broke the laws. Not my fault that they're falling off. Known as fair and square throughout my years. Saw the growl at the liver style. Black to the bone, my home is your home. But welcome to the Terror Dome.